Today I'm going to talk to you about the integrity of the Word of God. It is the foundation of our life. You know, for me, I grew up, nothing against where I grew up and where I went to church, but I really didn't have an understanding of the Word of God. So much so that when I got born again, I actually came back to the Lord, got filled with the Holy Ghost, as I started to study the Word of God for myself, I was amazed that the accounts in the Gospels were repeated. And so I thought, well, man, this must be important if it's repeated. And so I'd never seen that before. And then really for me, I grew up afraid of God, not reverencing God. I grew up afraid of Him. I saw Him literally as the big guy on the chair with a baseball bat. I saw Him as someone looking to keep me in line, not bless me. And so when I came back to the Lord and got filled with the Holy Ghost and started reading and studying the Word of God, it changed who I was. It changed my picture of God. It changed actually what I was able to receive from God. And this Bible became more than a book to me. I said this Bible became more than a book to me. It became the Word of the living God, which it really is. We call it a Bible because it's been assembled together, but really this is God's thoughts. This is God's ways. This is God speaking to you. And I don't want this to be too simple for you today, because this is a foundation of some things that I believe the Lord wanted me to put into you. So whether last week you were born again, or Easter you were born again, or you came back to be with the Lord, or you've been serving God for 50 years, I believe that this is something you need. I believe it's a reminder. And it really has blessed me and excited me as I was studying this over the week and meditating on it and then putting it on paper. Last night, I just got really, really excited about the Word of God. And if you can't get excited about the written Word of God, about the Logos, then you won't get any rhema. Amen. In other words, a spoken word from the Lord. But I'm excited about the loin belt. I'm excited about the sword of the Spirit. I'm excited about what God has in His Word for us. And so I just want to start where we've been looking at. We looked at before on Wednesday nights, and then we've been looking at a little bit. I want you to turn with me to John chapter 1, because last week we looked at eternal and the Zoe God kind of life. Are y'all walking in God's abundant life? Do you got the life of God on the inside of you? Are you born again? Is eternal life working in you? Amen. An abundant life that overflows, right? Glory to God. So let's look at John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So in the very beginning was the Word. In other words, the Word of God is the foundation for all things. I said, in the beginning was the Word. In the very beginning, the foundation of all things is the Word of God. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, speaking of Jesus, and the Word was God. So in the beginning was Jesus. In the beginning, Jesus was with God, and in the beginning, Jesus was God. Amen? Verse number 2. It says, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. So all things are made by the Word. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was Zoe, and the Zoe was the light of men. 1 John 5 and 7 says there's three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. The Father, Jesus, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. These three are one and they're working together. These three are one in all that they do. Thank God for the Father, but thank God for the Word. And Jesus is the Word. Revelation 19:13 says, "And He was clothed," talking about Jesus, "with a vesture dipped in blood." Whose blood? His very own blood. "And His name is called," what? The Word of God. And His name is called the Word of God. Jesus is the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus, the Word, has always been. It's the foundation. Jesus, when He was resurrected, His vesture dipped in blood, on Him written, the Word of God. I want you to see that the Word of God that you have written down really is a representation of a person. The Word of God can be followed back to the mouth of God. And some people who are trying to walk in the Word, they just see it as a book written down. And they see it and they call it the Word of God. But this Word is traced back to someone's mouth who said it. And when you look at it this way, you know, I was thinking about this, and I think I said it Wednesday night because I was meditating on these things already. And we had just, as a family, a church family, gone through something, and we all pulled together, and that's what we do, and we did it good. And the Lord was very pleased, and He was talking about how, you know, one of my favorite scriptures in the Psalms is, swear to your own hurt and change not. In other words, you tell somebody you're going to do something and you do it for them. And you swear to your own hurt and you change not. And the Lord was commending me and us as a church. And He said, you know, once again, you pulled together as a family and you did good. And basically, I'm pleased with you. And He said, but you, and He said it the kind of this way came to my heart when I say God spoke. I mean, I'm just kind of getting these perceptions on the inside. And He said to me, but you all, you can only go to a certain point. In other words, even if you keep your word, you're limited. He said, I want you to keep your word, but you're limited. In other words, how many of you know you and I can't solve impossible situations? Because if you could fix your problem, you've already fixed it. If you could heal yourself, you'd be healed. If you could bless yourself, you'd already be blessed. Amen? If you could fix it, you'd already have it fixed by now, right? And so even a person around you, how many, anybody in the room, none of us like to fail, do we? Do you enjoy letting people down? I mean, nobody does, right? Nobody with sane mind, nobody likes letting anybody down. But you and I, not only have people let you down, you've let people down. Well, I didn't get as big an amen on that one. But you have. I have. You shouldn't have said amen so strong on that one. I have let you down. I mean, people let people down. But the Lord was dealing with me. He said, but I can never let anyone down. I can never let anyone down because He's God. And His word can never let anyone down. Thank God that you and I try and bless people. But if you compare God and my word, I mean, I try to make my word His word. Are you with me? But there's no matter how perfect I can be or how perfect you can be, we're not God. I know you know that, right? Do you know? Are you glad I'm not God? I'm glad you're not God, and you should be glad I'm not God, right? Amen. But God will never let you down. If He promised you something, He's going to do it. Has He not said it? Will He also not do it? He's going to do it because He's God. And this is the Word of God. This is God's promise to you. Amen. So Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the Word made flesh. There were three in heaven from the foundation, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. There is one whose vesture is dipped in blood, and His name is the Word of God. And that Word never fails. That Word can never let you down. That Word is powerful. And we're going to talk about the integrity of that Word. We're going to talk about the integrity of Jesus. We're going to talk about the integrity of His word. And we're going to talk about Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. Now, I know you know this, but I'm re-excited, and I want you to be re-excited and re-energized about this word. Isaiah 55, 11 says, so shall my word that goes forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper into the thing where I sent it. Didn't do this first service, but you all need the amplified. Second service needs an amplified version of this. Isaiah 55, 11, now the amplified, if you can find that for me. So here it's saying the word that comes out of it, this word that you have written down, or it's on your iPhone now, that has come out, it's proceeded out of the mouth of God. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. Listen to this, without producing any effect, without producing, so when it comes out of His mouth, which this word written down has come out of His mouth, It's not just written down. It has a source. It came from the very mouth of God. It came from the one who cannot fail. It came from the Almighty. It came from the one who always has been and who always will be. It came from the Creator of all things. And He's telling you and He's telling me that it came out of my mouth and it shall never return to me void without producing the effect. It's not useless. How many of you know that's true? God's word is not useless, but it shall accomplish. It shall accomplish that which I please and purpose. It shall prosper in the thing for which I have sent it. Hallelujah. God's word, this word that you have, it will never ever return void. It will always do what it was sent to do. There's nothing wrong with this word. It's as powerful as it ever was when it came out of the Creator's mouth. The same God who said, light be, said, by the stripes of Jesus, you have been healed. The same God that with His words placed the sun and the moon and the stars. The same God who created things with His mouth, who wrote, He spoke this, and it was written down by holy men of old. It's the same God. He's the same God. But we have to have as much confidence in light be as what is written down. Amen. I feel a little more preachy the second service than I was first service. His word is powerful. It's not void of power. It'll always produce. Matthew 24, 33, 35. Matthew 24. Heaven and earth, you know these scriptures. But I just want to reinforce in you the integrity of the word. Because where I have in my heart to go with you, I was just going to go there. But the Holy Ghost said, slow down and do this. Because I want us all, I believe I can get 100%. I believe I can get 100% of the Cornerstonians, Word of Lifers, to believe with me that God's word never returns void. It always accomplishes. Heaven and earth will pass away. His words will never pass away. Amen. Psalms 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled. I know that sounds simple, but in heaven, it's a settled issue. Now, I don't know if you understand this. I used to be an accountant, and one of my least favorite things was tax law. Yuck. But precedence meant that it was settled. Everything was then followed after it was ruled by the precedent. What was settled? It's case law. Settled. The Word of God is not up for debate anymore. Amen. They can debate it all they want. But you have to get to the place that it's settled law. It's settled. Now see, on God, see, in heaven it's settled. Now you and I can, and people do it all the time. Don't they debate it? They debate it all the time. But heaven just looks down and goes, why are y'all debating it? It's already settled up here. It's settled with me. I spoke it, and this is what I meant, and this is what I said, and this is what is written down, and it's settled. It's settled. Have you settled it? Have I settled it? God already settled it. Now see, on God's end, the word is powerful. It can never return void. Has He not said it, will He not also do it? With God, heaven and earth, I mean, everything we see around here is going to pass away, but there's one thing that will never pass away, what He's already said. It's just never going to change. It's not up for negotiation. It's, you know, people say this all the time. Well, everybody has a right to believe what they want to. Well, sure, I can believe the sun is blue. And I can try to convince you. Hey, I saw the most beautiful sunrise, that blue sun come up today. And that blue sun, you know, it was kind of this beautiful aqua blue. I mean, and I can try to convince some of you, and you all might believe me, and I don't know why you would. Or I could say to you that, you know, I heard that the moon was made of blue cheese. And if you can just get there, it's the best cheese you could ever have in your salad. It looks like blue cheese. So I'm sure it's blue cheese, because you know it's on the internet, and everything that's on the internet is true. I Googled it. Well, just, but you see, and people change their opinions and all that kind of stuff, but God's word is settled. He settled it. You and I have got to settle it. I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but on God's end, it's done. It's powerful, never returns void. But there's some things on our end that we can do to spoil it. There are some things we can do to make it of none effect. So I just first want you to see on God's side, it's always powerful. It never returns void. It always accomplishes. But that's God's side. Now, some people do have a problem with that. They have a problem because a lot of times, especially in our circles, when you've learned the word of God, if something doesn't happen right or your estimation of happen right, what we begin to do is question God. Where were you? How come you didn't answer? What's up? We can do that. But you see, the truth is, we've got to understand, I always kind of giggle on the inside at us as humans, even us, if you want to call us word of faithers or word people or whatever, I always giggle at us a little bit. Because, you see, I don't know where we ever thought that we couldn't fail, that we couldn't receive, or that we could have been on our end. The first thing we do is like, you know, just like if you went home today and you went to turn on a lamp, and it didn't turn on. Is the first thing you do call the power company? Huntsville Utilities, my lamp didn't work. Is that the first thing you do? No, you might check if it's plugged in. You might check if, I'd probably check to see if the light bulb was out. Right? Right? Why is the first thing when something doesn't happen our end, we question God? Do you really believe that his word never fails? Because see, if we really believe he can't fail, then the failure is on our end somewhere. And whether you like it or I like it, that is the truth. And if you can get the devil to get you to question the integrity of God's word, it'll mess you up for your future. You and everybody around you is not perfect. I'm not trying to mess with you as an individual and say, well, you know, you don't know how to believe, because we'll get there. But I'm just saying, this has got to be the basis. This has got to be it. God can never disappoint you. He will never disappoint you. Come on, if that's irritating you, I'm going to irritate you a little more. He will never fail you. He will never let you down. He cannot. He is the creator. He is God. And he's always good. And he's always good. And he's always good, and his word never fails. Amen. So if something didn't happen the way you want it, then you and I have to realize that it was something on our end, and yet, you know, you may have to forgive yourself or forgive somebody around you, but then you got to follow on to know him. You got to follow on to know something else. Follow on to know why. I mean, you got to follow on. But you got to get it settled, and I have to get it settled, and I'm just reminding us that his word never returns void. On his end, it always works, but there's some things you and I can do to spoil it. You know, let's look at this. Let's look at Matthew 15:6. We're just going to pick it up here. Jesus is talking. He said, "Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition." Everybody say tradition. What is tradition? Well, tradition, you might think of tradition as a man-made way of doing things. How many know there's old traditions, there's new traditions? As humans beings, we like traditions, or you could just say things that humans do to try to act like God. Things that humans make up to try to be like God or take the place of God. They're traditions, traditions of men. The Bible said you have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Let's look at this one. This is maybe more familiar. Mark 17:13. Mark 7:13. Mark 7:13. It says, making the word of God of what? But I just said it was powerful. I just said it never returned void. Yeah, but in my personal life, in your personal life, I can make the word of God of no effect. It's the most powerful thing. It can create things, but in my life, I can make it of no effect. By through my tradition, which you've delivered, and many such things you like to do. So tradition, man-made things, can mess up or spoil the word of God. Let's look at Colossians chapter 2, verse number 8. Beware lest any man spoil you. Now today, in the day we live in, because of the internet, because of social media, because of everything, everybody's got an opinion and everybody's got a philosophy, all right? And many of their philosophies and what they think of God is just messed up. Because, you know, again, people say, well, I have a right to believe what I want to believe. You can believe whatever you want. The sun can be blue or the moon can be blue cheese, but it's not true. The word of God is not open to many interpretations. You interpret the word with the word. And it says, though, that man can spoil. I don't know how many of you are about to go out to eat, and maybe you're going to a buffet. Aren't you glad, or you shouldn't have to do this, you should always be aware, but going through the buffet line, you don't have to pray in other tongues and discern what is spoiled and what is good. Let's just say 1 out of 10 items on every buffet is spoiled. And you have to pick through it and figure out which one they are and pray. People think that you should have to do that with God. Now, my spiritual father even used to say this. He said, you know, eat the hay and spit out the sticks. And, you know, when I heard him say that, and I agree, you know, anytime you hear something, you ought to have enough discernment and enough of the word in you that you can get rid of the sticks. But I don't like to go to a buffet where I got to discern what's good and what's bad. I just rather go and look at the health rating and realize, oh, this is a good one. We can eat here without prayer. Hallelujah. And that's what I try to do for you spiritually. But even that, you ought to be like the Bereans. You ought to search the scriptures yourself to see if I'm saying it's so. Just because they got a TV show. I remember we were somewhere and someone came up to Pastor Ron and was like, oh my gosh, you're on TV. Like she was some kind of celebrity. And Rhonda turned around and walked by and said, for $100 a week, you too could be on TV. I mean, it's like not that big a deal, y'all. It's not that big a deal. The other truth is, just because someone, I remember I was teaching something in Bible Institute one time, and I was preaching something, and somebody in the class came up to me afterwards and said, so-and-so, who is on TV, said. And I'm like, yeah, but I just gave you the word. What the word said, and it contradicts what they on TV said. She goes, well, she's more well-known than you, so I'm just going to go with what she said. Well, who cares? This is the most well-known thing of all. And if you can't prove it by this, if you can't live it by this, then you ought not be believing it. But you can believe anything you want. You don't have, I have the right to believe anything I want. Well, you do, but it won't get you anywhere. It won't get you anywhere. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men. So you can got some perfectly good spiritual food called the Word of God, and it can be spoiled. And if something's spoiled, then it's not going to produce what you need it to produce. Who spoiled it? The traditions of men, or just men. Just men. They spoil it. Through what? Philosophy. Through their opinions. Sometimes just by trying to deceive on purpose. After the traditions of men, and after the rudiments of the world. And not after Christ. So we need to make sure that we're not trying to make the Bible fit into today's culture. The Word is still the Word. And we can deliver it in a way that is this culture, this time can receive it, but it has never changed and it will never change. What wasn't approved with God 2,000 years ago when it was penned is still not, he still don't like it today. And he called it sin, and so it's still sin. Or he called it right, and so it's still right. Amen. Glory to God. Don't let the philosophy of men, you know, we get to preach in a lot of different cultures. I was just in Nepal, and I was talking to them, to the leader, about the culture, some culture things. And we were talking about it, and I was telling the ministers. I was saying to them, listen, your culture is rich, and it's awesome, and there's some things you can just, don't let the Westerners come and take that away from you. But when your culture crosses the word, get rid of your culture. When your culture crosses the word and you got to let go of something in your culture, then you know, you got to go with the word. It's not a question. Amen? Are you with me? But everything that we do as humans is not bad, and traditions, it doesn't mean it's bad, but anytime it crosses the word, you know, philosophies of men, you know, it always amuses me. When people, as we get into the word, you know, and something's going on, you're believing God. I love it when people pop up with this. Well, Pastor, we need to use wisdom. Well, I agree. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives liberally without finding fault. What they're saying is, no, you've got to use human wisdom. You know, I appreciate education. I have a degree that I paid for. I hung it on my wall because I paid for it. And so I have an accounting degree, and I have some wisdom when it comes to dollars and cents. I know how to make budgets. I know 1 + 1 = 2, except with God. And so I get that, and I use my wisdom. But if my, like that, 1 + 1 = 2. But sometimes 1 + 1, give it away, which it doesn't compute up here, means something's coming back. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm not going to use my human, because human wisdom tells me to save. God's wisdom tells me to sow. And if my human wisdom, which in many times in that area has opposed my godly wisdom has to work out, because that was what the word says. So when someone says, let's use wisdom, well, it's fine as long as you know whose you're using. And again, I'm not opposed to anybody with, I mean, get all the human wisdom you can get. Just anytime it opposes with vain philosophies, with a philosophy that opposes the word of God, you're going to have to put it to the side and take up God's wisdom. Take up God's word. Are you with me? Amen. I mean, the word of God is unfailing, but we can spoil it. Now, as you all go to the buffet today, hopefully you don't have to pray over anything, but you'll know. And you know what? You ought to be good enough with the word that you know when you hear something or you see something that it doesn't line up with the written word, with the logos, with the written word. All right, so the word of God cannot fail. Let's look at this, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 13. We're talking about the word of God. I want you to get the integrity of the word of God. It came out of God's mouth. It's written down. It's spoken to you. For this cause also, thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, what do you got to do with the word of God? You got to receive it. How many know it's like seed? And that seed has the DNA to produce whatever it says. But first, you got to receive it. When you receive the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as what? It's not the word of men. This is not something that a preacher thought up. This is what God said. You received it as the word of God, which you heard of us. You received it not as the word of men, but as it is the truth. Everybody say, the word of God is the truth. It's the truth, right? It's the only truth. The word of God, which effectually works also in you that believe. So this, when sometimes I think if you've been around this a while, you hear the word or you hear messages and you, I've heard that before. And that's great that you've heard that before. But this is the word of God. This is the only truth. This is the word of God. This is the word that creates things. This is the word of God that is seed that is able to change your life. And it's not change. It won't change your life until you and I receive it. Until you and I, because see, on its own, it will never return void. It will always accomplish. Like the Apostle Paul said, I am persuaded that he is able to perform that which I gave to him or what I believe he's able. I'm persuaded of that. The word of God is that powerful. It's seed. It produces things. But there's things on our end that can spoil it. There's things on our end that can cause it not to work. And one of those things is not receiving it as the word of God. In other words, don't ever let it get so common. Don't ever let it get, okay, it's another Sunday morning, it's another Wednesday night, it's another daily Bible reading. I just want to stir you up a little bit. I just want to stir you up. When I get this, I'm looking at it, this is seed that's about ready to go into my soil, and this can produce some 30, some 60, some 100 fold. This has got healing in it. This has got prosperity in it. This has got peace in it. This has got power in it. This can save my marriage. This can change my adult child's life. This can revolutionize. This can give me the dream that God gave me came to pass. This is powerful. I'm not just doing it out of rote. I'm not just doing it out of every morning because someone told me that I could do this and I get healed. I've got to do this because I understand that this is the power of God that's available. The same power that God said, light be, and it was. The same power as light be is 1 Peter 2:24. Same power. Same ability to produce. But see, if I just treat it as common, if I don't see it as real seed, if I don't see it as the word of God, that's why, when people say, well, you know, the word of God isn't enough, irritates the fire out of me. Because everything that's been recorded, there's power in it to change anything and everything in your life. You don't need a special word from God. You need the word of God. I'll show you. 2 Peter 1:19-21. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. It's a more sure word. Thank God for prophecy. I thank God when God speaks to me and gives me additional information on my personal life and what I need. Thank God for that. But you won't even get to that unless you believe this more sure word. Whereunto you do well that take heed as unto a light. What did the Bible say? The word is a light and a lamp, right? Unto a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn, the day star arise in your hearts. Verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. See, this word didn't come by the will of a man. This word didn't come by somebody praying until God spoke to him. God decided, I've got to get this into their hands. But of holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the written word of God. The Holy Ghost, the author of the word of God, given it to us. That we can have it, this more sure word. You know, Acts 19:20 says this. So mightily grew the word and prevailed. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. The Bible even talks about how that we have to pray that the word of the Lord would have free course. I teach that in my prayer class in Bible Institute. You know, the Bible even says pray for the word of the Lord that it may have free course. Free course in a city, free course in a nation. But also, I take that as free course in your life. Free course in my life. That the word of the Lord, the word would be to you what it's supposed to be. It's not just a book. It's not just the B-I-B-L-E. This God's word compiled, we call it a Bible. But really, this is the living word of God. This is the sword of the Spirit. This is the loin belt. This is the truth of the word of God that you have available to you. And it's the most powerful thing. Jesus is the word. Jesus is the word. This word. So this word, this is the Lord himself. He gave you a part of him. And the Bible says that it mightily grows and it always prevails. If we're not winning in our life, when you have the integrity of the Word of God, and you and I know really what this Word can do, it'll always prevail. If you and I are not prevailing, then we're not putting the integrity of the Word of God to work. Because it always prevails. We're more than conquerors. We always overcome. We always overcome. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Our faith in what? The Word of God. Well, you know, but faith in the Word of God. But, you know, how do I know that the Word will work? Because you have confidence in the one who said it. Amen. You can take this Word and you can trace it back to somebody's mouth who cannot lie, who cannot fail, who cannot let you down. Remember, heaven and earth is going to pass away. It's not going to pass away. It'll never return void. The Word of God always grows and prevails. Let's get to this. Matthew 7. Everything I've given you today, most of you all, it's all familiar. You could have all found it all on your own. But I'm telling you, the Lord just really dealt with me very strong. And I was going to wind up another place, and the Lord just really put on my heart as I was finishing up, putting my little bow tie on this sermon last night, on this message, as I was studying, praying, getting ready to go to bed. He said, I want you to leave them with this. Matthew 7, 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, everybody say, I am a doer of the word. What happens to that man? I liken him to a wise man. Say, I'm a wise man. Hallelujah. Which built his house upon a rock. What is that rock? It's the foundation. It's the bedstone. It's the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the word. Now, this is what's going to happen. In the spirit realm, and then that show up in the natural realm, this is what happens. The rain descends. Floods come. The winds blew. I'm just telling you, no matter who you are, no matter how much you love Jesus, the storms of life are coming. They come to everybody. They come to everybody, and they come to everyone equally. They come to everybody who loves Jesus. They come to everybody who don't care nothing about Jesus. They come to those who go to Cornerstone, and they come to those who go to any other church. It comes to everybody, and it comes all the time. Because the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And just because we live on earth, storms are coming. Well, Pastor Mark, that is not encouraging. Well, this is encouraging. A beat upon that house, back to 24, which it says, and like a wise man, which built his house on a rock. All right? Then verse 25, the rain descended, the floods came, the wind blew and beat on that house, and it fell not. On the doers, are you a doer? You have wisdom in the Lord? The winds blew, beat on that house, and it fell not. And it fell not. Why? Because it was founded on a rock, on the word, on the revelation of Jesus Christ. So let the winds come. Let the storms come. Let the rain fall. You see, you can't get out of that as a whole. Because on verse 26, it says this, and everyone that hears these saying of mine and doesn't do them. Why would someone not do them? One reason is because they don't believe the Word of God is that powerful. They don't believe it makes a difference. Because if they really believed it made that much of a difference, they would do it. Well, I think it's just laziness. I don't know. I don't know if it's just laziness. I don't think so. I just don't think everyone really believes the Word of the Lord is the Word of the Lord. The Word of the Lord came from the Creator, and it has ability to create. Otherwise, I would just think they would do it. But see, they hear it, and they don't really trust it, the Word, or trust Him. And they don't do them. And He said, they're likened to a foolish man which built his house on the sand. Listen to this. Same rain, same floods, same wind. He beat on that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. The word has the ability for both kinds of people, because it never returns void. It's powerful. And the truth of the matter is, these are the last days. And I do not want you and I just to take for granted because we used to walk in the Word, or we hear the Word, or you come to church and hear the Word. But it's not enough to hear the Word. You've got to do it. You got to do it. You got to do it. You got to do it. Because in doing it, you activate the power of the Word. And when the wind comes, and when the rain comes, and when the flood comes, you're still going to be standing. You're still going to be standing. Yeah, but Pastor Mark, lots of stuff has gone on in my life. Well, you know what? You can't go back and fix anything, but you can decide, I, myself. And you can't do it for everybody. You can't do it. Oh, come on, y'all. I've tried. I've tried to do it for everybody. I got to do it for me. You've got to do it for you. Yes, we can pray for people. Yes, we can help people. Yes, we can be there for one another. But ultimately, it's your life. And you're responsible for it. And you can be the only one who can do the Word of God for you. You can't do it for everybody. Do it. Do it. Don't just hear it. Do it. Don't just hear it. Do it. And don't wait till you get the storm comes to start doing it. Do it. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, do it. Come on, just Nike it. Do it. Hallelujah. Right? Because if you just hear it, there was all that power available. There was all that power available, and it's not working because you just heard it and you didn't do it. The rains are going to come. The wind is going to blow. There's going to be floods. It's going to try to beat on your house. But you got to be able to say this. Let the wind blow. Let the rain fall. And when this is all done, we used to sing this song, I'll still be standing. Why? Not because of me. Because of the Word. Because that's what I built my house on. Because it's what I built my house on. It's what I built my house on. Amen. The Word itself is powerful, but you got to receive it. You got to do it. And we're going to look at some other things the next time I minister to you on a Sunday morning. And we're going to build on this quite a bit, maybe over the next couple months. I don't know. But I'm just telling you, I believe the Lord has somewhere for us to get, but we have to start with the integrity of the Word of God. Let's honor it. Let's esteem it. Let's understand just how much power there is in it. And, you know, for those of you who have been, like me, serving God for a very long time, let's not let it get old. Let's be excited about it. To those of you who are just starting, maybe you just started since Easter, if you'll make the Word the first place in your life, life will get better and better. And the storms that come, you'll go through them, and you'll go through them, and you'll be still standing when it's all done. Thank God for the Word of God. Thank God for the Word of God. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus, the Word.